Production made possible in part by MedPlus Advantage.
You're listening to Radio Rounds, a talk show created and hosted by medical students, where today's stories are told by tomorrow's doctors. Coming up on today's show, Dr. David Levy shares his journey towards balancing his spirituality with his high-stakes, outcomes-driven profession as a neurosurgeon. Here's a preview.
You made these vessels in her brain, and you can help me to fix them. And I ask you for skill and for wisdom and for success in this surgery. In Jesus' name, amen. And I looked up, and she's wiping tears from her eyes. I look at her daughter. They're now crying. I think, wow, this is what is this? You know, what is this power that I'm seeing here? And I became, of course, very uncomfortable with all this emotion. And then given all this emotion, I did what any surgeon would do in that awkward situation. I patted her on the hand, and I left it for the nurse to deal with.
We'll hear much more from neurosurgeon Dr. David Levy on Radio Rounds right now.
Here come the Radio Rounds. Welcome to Radio Rounds.
Welcome to Radio Rounds, everyone. I'm John Corker.
And I'm Rala Schritt. We're glad you could all join us today, whether you're listening on the web, on the radio, or via our iTunes podcast sometime in the future.
And we want to make a point to take a second here to welcome Rala to the studio. She's one of our new hosts, and this is the first time she's been on air with us. We're really excited to have her as part of the Radio Rounds team. Rala, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This week, we're going to take a step back from our theme of the last 2 weeks, medicine abroad, to take a broader perspective on medicine and what we can do to aid in patients' healing processes. This week, we'll be talking about the healing power that spirituality, and specifically prayer, can potentially have in the doctor-patient relationship.
Well, effectively mixing spirituality and medicine can sometimes be a very delicate subject, John, and many faithful physicians and medical students choose to simplify things by keeping the two separate. And of course, medicine is such an evidence-driven profession that many physicians just feel uncomfortable discussing faith in a professional context.
But our guest for the day, Dr. David Levy, has worked towards reconciling faith and medicine to more fully tend to his patients' healthcare needs. Dr. Levy is a neurosurgeon who specializes in aneurysms, which are kind of outpouchings of vessels that problematically sometimes burst, and diseases of blood vessels in the brain. His high-risk specialty includes emergency procedures to remove blood clots in the brain of stroke victims. But he's also a devout Christian and a prominent member of the Christian Medical and Dental Association of America. He's written a book called Gray Matter, which combines high-tech neurosurgery and spirituality.
Dr. Levy tells interviewers John and Sam Roberto, one of our other Radio Rounds co-hosts, that his journey to bring his faith into the workplace started with a visit to the dentist.
During my training, there was nothing about faith in the workplace. It was science or it was church, and the two really didn't meet. And having a dental filling replaced, and my dentist, Richard Mason, who's a great dentist, I went to him. He pulled out that 3-inch needle, you know how they do, to give you that shot. And, you know, I've been in medical training a long time, and as far as injections are concerned, I believe that it's more blessed to give than to receive. When I saw that pointy end of the needle, I sort of tensed up a bit. And, well, he just, you know, he felt me tense up. He put his hand on my shoulder. He said a short prayer. He knew I had faith, and so he said, God, you know, would you please bless David and guide my hands, just something short. And, you know, I just felt this peace come over me. I felt like, you know, it was still, the shot still hurt a bit, but it wasn't the same level of apprehension. And so on my way home that day, I really felt that I should be praying for my patients, that, wow, if I could give them this kind of peace and comfort, I should give that a try. Well, I had all kinds of reasons why I didn't want to do that. I thought, oh boy, you know, that they're going to think I'm trying to badger them or convert them. Or, what if I pray and then I have a bad result? Will I actually, you know, hurt someone's faith? And probably the biggest reason I didn't want to pray is, you know, well, if I pray, will people think I don't know what I'm doing, that I didn't read the book? And so I, I had all these reasons why I didn't want to pray, but I felt that God was telling me, look, if you're worried about being misunderstood, I can promise you that you will be at some point, because Jesus was, and that's who you're following. But you still need to do the right thing. And so I, with that, I said, wow, that's sort of a powerful inner voice. I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna ask someone if I can pray for them. And so I went that next Tuesday when I had my surgery, I went up into the surgery suite. My heart was just pounding. You know, normally it's my day to shine. I'm wearing my white coat and I'm ready to go. I mean, I love surgery. I love neurosurgery. But this day I was terrified, because when you're going to ask someone something you don't know the answer to, it's awkward. It's scary. Well, I walked up to the patient's bedside. Everything was fine. I was sort of waiting for my moment. But the problem was, there was a nurse there, and the nurse just wouldn't leave. And there was no way I was going to ask somebody to pray if there was a nurse standing there. So, because I sort of made this deal with God that I was going to pray, but the nurse was not part of that deal. So I'm waiting for the nurse to leave. Well, she's not leaving. So finally, I give up, and I go back to the nurse's station. But I didn't leave the area. I didn't leave the pre-op area. I sort of stayed there and, you know, pretended I was on the phone and pretended I was checking my beeper. You know how we do when we're sort of waiting for something to happen and trying to look inconspicuous. But it was sort of like I was, you know, waiting to commit a crime. I kept kind of looking over at her bedside, waiting for the nurse to leave. And, well, finally she left. And so I started up toward the bedside. Just as I got there, here comes the anesthesiologist. I turned right back around. I was not going to pray for another doctor. I wanted to pray, but I didn't want to be seen as one of those people who prays for people, one of those weirdos or something. So finally he left. I went up to the bedside, and I said, Miss Jones, would it be okay if we said a prayer before your surgery? And she had her two daughters with her, and she looked at them, and they looked at her, and shrugged her shoulders and said, sure, okay. I started putting my hand on her shoulder, but remember, neurosurgeons were not very touchy-feely. So, you know, we like to generally touch patients when they're under general anesthesia, painted with a sterile solution, you know, have it covered with a blue drape. That makes us feel comfortable. This whole touching people that are wide awake, that's different. So, but nonetheless, since that's what had been done for me, I put my hand on her shoulder. And I said a short prayer. I said, you know, God, thank you for Mrs. Jones. You made these vessels in her brain. It was an aneurysm surgery. So I said, you made the vessels in her brain, and you can help me to fix them. And I ask you for skill and for wisdom and for success in this surgery. In Jesus' name, amen. And I looked up, and she's wiping tears from her eyes. I look at her daughter. They're now crying. I think, wow, what is this? You know, what is this power that I'm seeing here? And I became, of course, very uncomfortable with all this emotion. And then, given all this emotion, I did what any surgeon would do in that awkward situation. I patted her on the hand, and I left it for the nurse to deal with. I hit the automatic door switch, and I was gone. And I had more joy during that surgery than I had had in my previous career. That I had admitted before patients, and generally they look at you like you're God, but I had admitted before them, look, I'm not God, but I'd be glad to talk to him with you if that's something you're interested in. And that was just a beautiful experience. So the surgery went well, and I went to talk to the two daughters, and they said, Dr. Levy, thank you for praying with our mother. That meant so much to her. It gave her such peace. And that really started me on this journey. It was as if God was saying to me, hey, you're on the right track. And that was, you know, 7 years ago, and virtually every patient since then I have asked if they would like prayer.
What are some of the benefits of doctors praying with their patients for both the doctor and the patient?
You know, oftentimes they're so fearful, and it can be as small as a dental procedure or as large as brain surgery, but we know that we're out of control, and that's our most fearful time. We're sort of in a crisis, if you will, and that's when people are looking for things outside of them, and most people welcome prayer is what I'm finding. So for the patient, the benefit is really peace and comfort and connection. I think so many times I've heard people say, you know, I just feel lost. Well, because they're so out of their environment. Well, guess what? They're in my environment. I'm comfortable here. So I should be the one that can ask them if they would like me to pray for them and remind them that God is with them. They've just forgotten because they're in a strange environment, maybe a stressful one, and God seems to, when we invite fear in, then love and God generally go. So if someone can bless you by just reminding you that God's with you, it's a tremendous, tremendous feeling of peace and a tremendous ministry, I think, and very timely to be able to pray in the hospital.
How do you think this impacts the physician?
For me, it's been a tremendous blessing. I think physician morale is at an all-time low, and I believe it's at an all-time low because we've been given this position by God to bless people, to honor Him, and generally, most of us are in it for our own glory, and that that was my path. I mean, I loved getting the glory for myself, and so introducing prayer, introducing God was quite a departure from the way I was used to practicing medicine. I'm here so that you can glorify me, and then the referrals you'll send in will glorify, you know, it's all about me building up my own glory, my own reputation. And by praying, it's an act of humility, it's an act of honesty, and it's sort of admitting I'm very good at what I do, I have no qualms about that, but I also recognize that I need God's help. And it actually takes a very confident person to pray, just like it takes a confident person and a secure person to apologize or to ask for forgiveness. In the same way, it takes a very confident, secure person to pray. Now, I will add, when we ask people to pray, it's critical that we are not pushing our faith or our agenda or something else on them, because that's when people are going to react, and that's when we're going to get into trouble. And I wouldn't want someone to do that to me. So this is how I ask. If it is an elective case, I will say, your surgery is next week. One of the things I offer my patients is to pray for them before surgery, pray with them before surgery. Many people find that gives them peace and comfort. If that's something that you would like, you'll need to ask me for that on the day of your surgery. And many patients just immediately will say, oh, I want that. And then some will think about it, and then they won't ask for it, and so I won't pray for them. You know, I would love to pray for everybody, but you don't want to push it on people who don't want it. That's not a part of what they're looking for or what they want. But you'll find that most people actually will want that. Now, in the case of an emergency, I will say, it's my habit to pray with people. Is that something you're interested in? If they say yes, then I'll add, would you like me to pray privately on my own, or would you like us to pray together now? And that gives them another opportunity. If they're feeling coerced, that, look, they need my services and they don't want to upset me, because one of the accusations of physician prayer is that it's an imbalance of power, that I'm pushing something on them and that people really don't want this. This is all about my agenda. And it's not. It's all about me blessing people. And if you ask in a way that allows people to say no without risking the relationship, they can still have my services and they can say, no, you pray privately on your own. You know, people are not comfortable with public prayer sometimes, which is fine, because I still want to bless them. I'm still going to do my best for them. But you don't want to get people in a vulnerable position, a vulnerable population. That's when you're going to get people angry with you.
What were kind of the initial reactions that you got to praying from your colleagues, whether it be that nurse that was in the room or the physician, your fellow physicians that walk into the room? What were some initial reactions to your decision to begin praying with patients?
Well, that's a good question, John. Initially, obviously, I was terrified of the nurses or anyone hearing me pray, because I didn't want, you know, people to think I was some strange guy who had lost his mind, and to start, you know, especially if you'd been in a hospital, you know, for 7 years and you're really going to change your policy. This is a big, variation from the norm. I was scared about the nurses. And so for 3 months, at least, I would make sure that nobody would hear me pray. And that was honestly the worst part of my day, was waiting for the nurse to leave. I would, you know, walk around. I would pretend to be on the phone. It was just torment. And finally, I just heard this voice inside of me saying, well, you know, what are you afraid of? I said, well, I'm afraid of the nurses, of course. Everyone knows they talk. You know, everyone knows they're going to go to the nurse's lounge and chit-chat about this strange doctor. And the voice was saying, well, then why don't you stop? And I thought, oh, I don't want to stop praying. I mean, this is this is obviously, you know, really impacting people. It's obviously doing such good. I don't want to stop praying. And then this thought about, oh, why can't you be authentic? You know, what are you afraid that people will say? And so I at that point, I was able to pray with a nurse there. And sure enough, you know, it was awkward. I didn't like it. But if there was someone there and they wouldn't leave right away, I started praying even with the nurses there. You know, I would have to ask them then. Anyone who's present, you need to say, is this okay with you? Because you don't want to be, you know, as this physician, as the leader of the team, you don't want to be pushing this on anyone. And so it just added one more layer. But then I would ask, or actually I wasn't even asking them at that point. I just kind of would just pray with the family. But then a few months later, one of the nurses came and said, hey, we noticed that you're praying. Would you let us pray with you? Would you ask us to pray with you? And so it was just very interesting that what I thought was going to sort of repel everyone, many nurses, you know, they want to bless their patients in the same way. And so they wanted to be involved in that. And it's sort of in the prayer circle, they, you know, wanted to gather around with the family. And so it was it became actually many times just a really beautiful time before surgery to really to bless the patient. My colleagues, I mean, obviously those reactions, you know, they vary widely. But I can tell you, I've got a Hindu colleague who said, you know, David, you taught me to pray. He's in the same field as I'm, and he taught, and I said, well, that's unusual. He said, well, you know, I don't actually pray myself, but I can tell when people want to pray. And so I will encourage the family to pray. And he said, you know why I love it? I love it because they always pray for me. So, and as physicians, you know, you know that we need that, and we want that, and we have feet of clay, and we, no matter how much we, you know, pretend that we can control this surgery, we know that it's just not possible.
Dr. Levy, could you share a particularly memorable story of the interaction of faith and spirituality and medicine that you've had in your career?
There was a woman named Gloria who came to see me, and she sat down in the office, and she said, you know, Dr. Levy, do you remember when I was here 6 months ago, I brought my friend Gail with me? And I said, you know, I don't remember that. She said, well, you remember that you said a prayer for us. And I said, you know, I don't remember that either, but well, go ahead. What happened? She said, well, Gail, I just had her drive me to the appointment. She, you know, she just a friend of mine. And so you prayed for us. We went outside your office and we just started weeping in the hallway. We started just kind of crying, and neither of us could figure out why. But it was about 2-3 weeks later, Gail said, you know, I need to have a relationship with God. She said, well, can I go to church with you? And so I took her to church with me. She went up afterwards and sort of made her peace with God, talked with the pastor. It was 3 weeks later that she learned that she had cancer. And 3 weeks after that, she was dead. She said, Dr. Levy, thank you for having the courage to pray. And it's just interesting that she knew, one, that it took courage to pray in an office. And number two, I would never have known that. I mean, I didn't see anything happen in the office. It was obviously, I just sort of prayed a prayer of blessing over the two of them. But something, when we pray, something powerful happens that I think most of the time we don't see.
As we close the interview today, do you have any advice for our listeners as they think about praying with their patients or praying with their doctors someday?
When we go to a physician, I think that we should always ask for prayer before surgery, or always offer to pray. I think asking a physician to pray is pretty awkward if you don't know the physician well. But certainly as physicians, for us to ask people to pray is absolutely not only appropriate, I think it's, in my opinion, it's unethical not to ask someone to pray because of the incredible positive things I've seen. In fact, I would even call it cruel, because I see such peace and comfort come when I pray for people. Joy, I think as physicians, joy is so important. And the path to joy is actually through humility and being humble enough to be able to ask for prayer for yourself, but also for your patients, I think is a path to joy. You know, that's an authenticity element. If this is something that you believe, something that's real about you, for you to show it, to be able to show it, grows you into the person that God designed you to be, and I believe just allows your joy to blossom and to bloom and to affect many, many others.
Dr. Levy, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Rounds today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Radio Rounds, and I'm Rala Schritt. That was Dr. David Levy, a neurosurgeon from San Diego and author of the book Gray Matter, a fascinating account of Dr. David Levy's decision to begin asking his patients if he could pray with them before surgery.
And we're just so thankful that Dr. Levy could join us on Radio Rounds today, because he addresses a topic that can be somewhat of a big elephant in the room for doctors and their patients and the relationship that we have. And the reality of the matter is that spirituality can take a number of different forms in people's lives, but ultimately plays a central role in many people's lives. And we're taught in medical school to be able to kind of assess and address all of the many different factors that contribute to our patients' healing processes, whether it's their family situation, their socioeconomic situation, or their spiritual beliefs. And in order to be a complete, effective physician, we need to be open to and aware of all of these many different factors, spirituality being one of them. Now, as Dr. Levy mentioned, he doesn't insist that he pray with patients, but he offers it. Okay, and as he mentioned, there's a lot of times there's patients who come in and they're scared, especially before surgery, and they're just very uptight. And for people for whom spirituality is a big part of their lives, it's also a very personal, very intimate part of their lives. And for a physician to show the humility and the courage, to use two words that Dr. Levy used, to try and connect with their patients on that spiritual level, for a lot of people, that can help them relax and really trust in their doctor maybe a little bit more than they could before. But I think the important thing is asking if it's okay to pray, not pushing it on the patients.
Absolutely. I think another point that's really important to recognize is, Dr. Levy's goal is to keep his patient comfortable. And he, in the interview mentions that, in the OR, that's his domain. He's comfortable there. But that by praying with his patients, he also allows the hospital to become a more familiar place for the patient and to give them that sense of relief and comfort that sometimes you can only get at home.
Right. And he mentioned how scary it can be to begin to address these topics in the medical setting. It's not a natural or generally accepted thing to pray in the hospital, at least not right now, the way things are set up. And it took a little while for him to get comfortable with that. And, we certainly don't expect all of our listeners to go out and pray with all their patients or pray with their doctor every single time they go to the hospital. But our point is to kind of introduce this topic and help our listeners to understand that it's okay to pray with patients and it's okay to pray with your doctor if that's something that's important to you and you think it could help you heal.
Yeah, I can certainly understand Dr. Levy's initial hesitation and feeling that, he had to kind of keep this under wraps, not being unsure of whether a nurse should be in the room, being unsure of how to approach the patient about prayer, because it's not just something that is, a bit taboo in the medical field. It's something that we stay away from even in our everyday lives. We don't know how to approach the subject of religion. We don't know how to approach the subject of spirituality because we're so afraid of stepping on people's toes and also coming off as being unknowledgeable and not being familiar with different cultural and religious practices.
Right. And I just thought it was so poignant for Dr. Levy to bring up the fact that one of his Hindu colleagues, so a colleague that was spiritual but in a very different way than Dr. Levy, was able to come up to him and thank him for encouraging him to include spirituality in his medical regimen, if you will, or in how he practiced. And it just goes to show you that, Dr. Levy said it's important not to push your spirituality on other people. And I think the proof is in the pudding that he doesn't do that when he has colleagues of different faiths coming up to him and trying to engage him in conversation as to how they can more effectively include this in what they do. But one thing that's cool, at least what's been cool about my medical experience here at Wright State, is there have been times where I've been taught how to take a quote spiritual history. So when every time that you meet with a patient as a medical student or a physician, you take a history of their present illness, a history of their past medical ailments, and a history of things that their family has dealt with. But one thing that they kind of encourage us to include in that general everyday history taking process is that spiritual history. Something that could be as simple as, are you a spiritual person? Is that some, and if you are, what are your goals for that? And what can I do as a physician and part of a healthcare team to help you accomplish your goals in that aspect of you as a person? Again, just incorporating it into finding out what this person is all about and how we can best help them.
And that really ties back to what Dr. Levy was discussing earlier about there being multiple avenues for people to heal. You know, we talk about these, you know, tangible things. We see people get better. We see them sometimes become cured. But we don't think about the intangible aspects of that, their emotional well-being, their spiritual well-being, the role their family plays. And I think that taking a spiritual history could actually be beneficial to the patient because it helps you understand what they need to find peace, what they need to properly heal after a surgical procedure or whatever their ailment may be.
Well, and I think at the end of the day, it's just important to remember that it cannot hurt to ask. You know, maybe your patient says no. Maybe your patient says not in a million years. Maybe your patient says, I can't believe you brought that up. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to ask. But what it can do is really help. It could potentially help if that's something that's important to your patient. And that's what we want to remember. And getting everybody on board and comfortable with it is also really important. He mentioned wanting to get his colleagues on board, wanting to get the nurses on board. Everybody involved that's going to be involved with the patient's care during their stay in the hospital. And you know what? That can be a challenge to get everybody on the same page. But I think really it's one worth tackling.
Absolutely. I think it's also something a physician or any healthcare team member should remember, that if that person is uncomfortable offering that service, you know, hospitals do offer chaplains and they do offer other people that may provide that comfort to the patient. We were talking, Dr. Levy was talking about physician morale and, you know, the value of prayer as a humbling experience. And he also touched briefly upon how he looks at prayer and his own skill level. Does praying make the patient feel uncomfortable? That, you know, maybe they'll feel that the physician is placing their, you know, their skills and the quality of the care they give, you know, to a higher power. And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, if a physician doesn't feel comfortable offering that service, that there are other people in the hospital who could provide that to the patient.
Absolutely. So our question to our listeners today is, what do you think? As a patient, would you want your physician to inquire about your spirituality, possibly work to help you fill those needs, or is a simple consult to the hospital chaplain, as Rala mentioned, is that enough? What if you are of a different religious background than your physician? And of course, for our clinical-based listeners out there, how do you feel about taking a spiritual history for each one of your patients? You can email us at contact@radiatorounds.org or post on our Facebook and Twitter pages with your answers to these questions. We'd love to hear what you have to say, and we'll even post some of your answers on our website.
Thanks for joining us today. Join us next week for another exciting episode of Radio Rounds as we continue the countdown to our 100th episode.
And of course, tune in every Sunday at noon Eastern Time on WWSU 106.9 FM and Sundays at midnight on WYSO 91.3. And of course, you can download podcasts of all past episodes. Just search the iTunes Store for Radio Rounds or visit radiorounds.org.
Production made possible in part by MedPlus Advantage, sponsored by the American Medical Association, providing group disability and life insurance to students and residents through participating educational institutions. Visit us at medplusadvantage.com.
Radio Rounds is also proudly partnered with the Student Doctor Network online at studentdoctor.net. Find answers to your questions about medical school or residency programs, ask questions in our online forums, and get answers quickly. It's fast, easy, and available now at studentdoctor.net.
Please remember that the views and opinions expressed on Radio Rounds are not representative of the views and opinions of the partners of Radio Rounds or of Wright State University Boonshoff School of Medicine.
Have a great week, everyone. For our entire staff here at Radio Rounds, I'm John Corker.
And I'm Rala Schritt. And one day,
we'll be your doctors.
Here come the radio rounding, we're rounding, we're rounding. Welcome to Radio Rounds.